Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Debbie Laux from Newport Beach, actually Solvang, California today.
Okay, we'll take that. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May the 5th, 2012, episode 418. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're glad you're here listening to Horses in the Morning. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. We hope you come back every day. We're here Monday through Friday from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And I want to welcome my guest co-host today, because Jamie is still enjoying her vacation in Portugal. I want to welcome Debbie Laux, who I have never done a show with before, but we've been friends for a long time. Good morning, Debbie.
Yeah. Good morning. Thank you, Glenn. Thanks for inviting me. I was wondering if you were snubbing me on that co-host thing. No, it's been fun to do all the different things. You've had me on the show before, and I enjoy being with it, but I'm honored to be co-host.
Well, and of course, we had you. Well, you co-hosted actually with Jamie one day when I was out, and you were on the show. One of the most special times, of course, was when you nominated your father for greatest dad of the year. So we and he won that.
I think it was,
here.
Yeah, it was sexiest dad of the year.
Oh, that's right. It was sexiest dad of the year. That's right.
Yeah,
yeah. And he still hasn't forgiven you for that. I don't.
Really?
I don't think he had any idea why we had him on the show that morning. And, of course, your dad we're talking about is Monty Roberts, who will be with us here in a minute. And, matter of fact, let's go to Jennifer and find out what's today's show.
On today's royally entertaining repartee, Glenn and Debbie regale us with preposterous headlines and unlikely horse stories. And in betwixt, the Queen's horse, go-to horse guy, Monty Roberts, that's Debbie's dad, will be here to tell us all about his latest adventures over in the UK. And wait for it. Born today in Ohio, William Boyd, the cowboy who brought us Hopalong Cassidy.
She always comes up with that stuff every day, and it surprises us every day because we have no idea what she's going to come up with. Well, thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate that. Well, it's time for our Daily Whinnies, Debbie. Well, my first Daily Whinny, I have two of them today, goes out to Jennifer's brother, David. It's his birthday today, so this is for you.
Happy birthday, happy.
And he's the older brother, so Jennifer is the younger sister there. But we got to spend a little time at the beach with them when they were down in just a couple of weeks ago, so it was nice to see them. Happy birthday, David, and I have a second Daily Whinny. Well, this one goes out to a horse, actually, and it's a horse that anybody who is a regular listener of Horses in the Morning will know this horse, and you'll know it by this.
Lady Mutata in front. Here come my wife knows everything, and the wife doesn't know on the far outside. Little Miss Macho is fourth or into the stretch. Lady Mutata, my wife knows everything. Center of the track, the wife doesn't know. Into the final furlong, my wife knows everything. The wife doesn't know. They're 1-2. Of course they are. My wife knows everything in front. To the outside, the wife doesn't know. My wife knows everything. The wife doesn't know. My wife knows everything. More than the wife doesn't know.
Well, and of course, we've had Larry Comas on here, who was the announcer of that race way, way back when we first started the show, and he's been on several times since. And of course, everybody knows him now because he is the one that's announcing the Triple Crown races, and he'll be up this Saturday as well up at the Belmont. And he's getting ready for that. I read an article today about how he's preparing for that race. Well, we also know that my wife knows everything. The horse, one of the horses, the horse that won that race, was adopted out through New Vocations, the adoption center that we have on here once a month. And we actually had that horse as one of the adoptable horses. Well, when I saw this picture pop up on Facebook, and then I went and read the article, I went, oh, my God, it's wife doesn't know. And it's the same horse. And what the picture was is, you know how when they, Debbie, when they put horses in the starting gate, you know this, you have racehorses. The family's had racehorses for years. They put the horses in the starting gate. Well, occasionally a horse will bolt out of the starting gate, break open the gate, and take off. Well, that's what happened with Wife Doesn't Know and a $5,000 claimer. And apparently he took off out. Well, the guy, what do they call those guys? The gate stewards or the gate handlers, Jennifer? What do they call those, Debbie? The gate guy. The gate guy in the vest there was still holding on to the horse out of the gate, like 5-10 feet in front of the gate. This guy's still holding on. Well, apparently the jockey managed to stay on, but another horse right beside him bolted out of that gate as well. His name was Satora, and that jockey did fall off. They managed to round up Satora, who was around the clubhouse turn by the time they caught him. And Wife Doesn't Know, they actually got control of the horse, and they brought Wife Doesn't Know, and they ran Wife Doesn't Know in the race. Well, came in dead last. And I'm saying, you know, it's time to retire this one, too. There's a point in everybody's career when if you're that long in your career, this horse must be 5 or 6 or 7. I don't even know how old. But, you're right back to running $5,000 claimers. It's time to retire them. I'm sure that we can find a home for this horse, too, like we did the last one. So I'm just saying.
Right.
Fine.
Right. I agree with you. She's put her time in.
That's right. She's one of the most famous horses that in the world, thanks to that video.
It's a viral YouTube moment again.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, it's your turn.
My daily Winnie it's got a little theme going here. I kind of have two, just like Glenn does, and mine has an English bend to it. But my shout-out goes to the Equestrian Olympic team going over to England, and good luck to them. I really am proud of everybody on that team, but especially Stefan Peters, who we know and have followed his career. He's an amazing guy, an amazing leader, and I just think that there's going to be some great things happening. I hope everybody watches all the Olympics going on in England this year.
Now, is Stefan, he's not far from you guys in California there, is he?
That's right. He's south of us. He's near San Diego, but he's north of it, so he's about 3 hours south of here.
Okay, and I know you guys knew him because actually I saw you together at one event we went to. You were hanging out with Stefan.
Yeah, wasn't that in Ocala, actually? Or
that was in Florida, but I think it was in Wellington.
Oh, it was in Wellington. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It was that beautiful event at Christmas time. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. So tell me, Debbie, we know a lot. We're going to have your dad on here in a little bit, and we know a lot about Monty, but we don't know as much about you. And one of the things I do know about you is following you on Facebook. One of the things we talk about all the time here is bucket lists. And, when you get to my age, you start to get serious about trying to accomplish the things on your bucket list. Moving to Florida was one of ours, so we've accomplished that now.
Yeah,
but,
congratulations.
You get to ride. You do some of the greatest trail rides and get to ride in some of the coolest places.
Ah, yeah, I do. You're right. People might not know that, but my mom and I go up to Idaho, to the mountains, and literally no phones because it's about 10,000 feet up, and we enjoy that. We have a
a group, Pioneer Outfitters, who takes a couple of guys up there. They cook for us, all women. This year we'll have 9, and we're going to the Sawtooths. And Mom and I scale those mountains and ride horse in, ride horse out, and then take trips during the day. But we literally sleep in a tent and no toities and, you know, cook over a campfire. It is, we call it glamping. But some women would run in horror from that term because it's not real glamorous.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get Jamie going along anytime soon.
But we have a good time. We do. We had to finally hire an extra mule. They pack everything up on a mule. And we have an extra mule just for the beverages that we have to take, which is incredibly important. It's for our health. And but the scenery is spectacular, spectacular up there. We usually go to the White Clouds, but this year we're going to the Sawtooths, and it's a little more rocky. So I promise to post lots of beautiful photos up there.
Now, you've been doing this for how long?
4 or 5 years now.
Yeah?
I talked Mom into it. She's probably wondering why at this point. Every year the hikes get a little harder. But she's a trooper. She gets up there, and this year there will be some women that are already up there. So they're acclimated to that height. So we're going to have to get our oxygen going real fast. Those horses are amazing, too. You know, they've got Percheron crosses, a little quarter horse and Percheron going, big bone, big feet, and they go over those rocks like it's nothing, you know, amazing.
I imagine that just the quiet and the scenery is out of this world. When you can actually see it, when that pack animal is in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Now the horses are, it's not that real, we do stay nose to tail, but it's because the little trails that we scale are quite, you know, narrow, and it is, it's really fun. You really do feel like it's a bucket list thing. You know, everybody should do one of those in a lifetime. If you have the privilege to do more, great. But, you know, to see that scenery where people just don't even go. I mean, there's not even that many animals up there. You know, it's way up high, and you just look down on the world like you're up in God's world.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, about that wrangler we had on last year, the one who was on the show, the young girl who scared away the bear from eating the little boy on the trip where I'm in Montana or someplace. And I was just thinking about that. So you don't have to worry about bear attacks where you go.
Well, this guy that we, Devin Jackson, who takes us up there, he's got a big old dog, and he's got a big old gun, and he doesn't sleep much, I think. But we're real careful. And yeah, the first night there's always these newbies that hadn't been on the trip before, and we have to shake their tent down for candy and, you know, granola bars and things like that. Make sure that you put everything where you're supposed to be. But they're real serious. The wranglers are real serious about everything. And I suppose if a bear did ever scoot through, they'd avoid that dog. And I did try to take bear spray up there last year, and I thought I was so clever. I found some bear spray at REI, you know, and I read the fine print right before I went on the plane and said, sorry, you can't take it on the plane. So I went, oh, shoot. It was my guarantee. And I sleep with Mom and another girlfriend in a tent. Typically, it's a 3-man tent. And so we were tootling around Stanley, Idaho, trying to find another bear spray before we went up on the mountain. But oh, well, we probably just shoot each other anyway. You know, we don't see much light. We didn't see too much up there. You see a few skulls, but we have turned the corner and come across those big woolly white goats with their babies. You know, the ones you go, wow, and then poof, they're like a mile up the hill. It was that fast. You know, it's just unbelievable. You just pinch yourself the whole time you're up there. And no phones, no computers, no. They have a satellite phone that, you know, that you have to watch for every 9 o'clock and 9 o'clock, you know, the satellite comes over. And if you want to touch base with home, that's how he checks in, the wrangler does. But we don't even know what's going on. We, you know, it's wonderful.
Wow. Wow, Debbie, this is every horse woman's dream. You get to ride horses every day, every night, and have men cook for you.
Yes. Well, the other thing we do, which women will like, is that the youngest wrangler, there's usually maybe 2 wranglers, depending on the size of the group, but we make him take his shirt off and chop wood. Don't tell anybody. It's an initiation thing. No,
and I'm sure he feels so used and abused, too.
Yeah. No, actually, I think they like it, actually. A bunch of women sitting around giggling around the campfire. Now, it is a lot of fun, though. And the horses are the front and center. We do hike some to give the horses a break on the day after we go in. But it's generally all about the horses and getting to places where you just think, I wonder how many people on earth get to see what we're seeing, you know, and get to be where we're being. Not too many, not these days.
Now, I wanted to ask you, your mom, I met your mom before, and was she always, now, I don't know how she had time with all the kids that were in the family, but was she always a big rider, or did she just ride when she had time? What was her story that way?
Well, mom and dad met, they didn't meet until they were like in the second and third grade, so they, you know, had some catching up to do. But they, mom grew up in the city, but that was Salinas, so you can't really call it too much of a metropolis. But they grew up together going to the same grammar school, and dad, of course, was on the rodeo grounds. Anybody know his story? He actually grew up in the saddle. Says he didn't get into the horse business until he was about three or four or so. You know, after that, then he really got busy being a professional, and by seven he was starting his own horses, of course, and he was winning at four. So I mean, he has a big trophy from the Starlet of the Times when he was four, and it was a 12 and under class. How embarrassing would that be, huh? For that 11-year-old?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But they didn't know. He's a pro at that point. But they so they grew up, mom going out to her family's property, and she rode just every second she got. And finally, their world sort of collided when she was a senior in high school when they started dating, and on a dare, actually. And then I guess a lot of people know that they were in East of Eden together, where dad was working with James Dean, teaching him to rope and ride for the movie, and James Dean lived there. And then mom and dad both had a little bit part in East of Eden when Elia Kazan came to town to film that in Salinas and Monterey. And mom had the speaking part. But there's some great stories from that. And, of course, you know, he died. James Dean died driving back up to look at property in Salinas with dad because he was planning on buying a ranch up there, unfortunately.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah, there's an inside bit. Yeah, so... So your question about has mom always ridden? Yes. And then they spent the 60s basically competing and making a living in the quarter horse world, and then built the farm here at Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang near Santa Barbara in 1966. 65 it started, 66 moved in. And mom pretty much stopped competing at that point, and they went into their thoroughbred career. Full time. Dad had been training thoroughbreds, you know, all along as well, but he really made his living in the Western performance world. His 9 world championships in the show ring, you know, really happened throughout that time. And then, and a lot of people don't know that he was a world champion across a couple of disciplines 9 times. A lot of people think, oh yeah, that's that guy who does join up from the ground. You know, he actually can train world champions.
Yeah,
probably. And then, but mom took up reining a couple of years ago again.
Really?
Yes, you'll have to look at her Facebook page. She is amazing. I won't even say her age. It's somewhere around 50. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
I'm older than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay.
Yeah, and she is winning all, and it was all because her Pilates teacher moved. So she thought, well, you know what? I'll get back up on a horse. And mom and dad are both riding more than I remember in the last 30 years, you know, daily. So their core is really strong. They're doing good out there.
Well, we're going to talk about your dad. One of his rides that he did recently when, you know, with only a few million, bazillion people watching, that he did recently, we're going to talk about that, too, coming up when he's on. So now, did you ever, did you compete?
I did. Growing up, all three of us kids did. And then a lot of the foster kids were they had fun, too. So a lot of them wanted to be jockeys, though, that came here. Like, it was one of those things where their parents didn't know what to do with them, so they sent him to the farm, and that was here. And so, yes, my brother and sister and I did the circuit. My mom, you know, would throw us in the trailer every weekend, and we were cross-discipline, mostly Western. Enjoyed it a lot. And then,
were you doing pleasure, or were you running barrels, Debbie?
No, I didn't do the barrel. I didn't do much rodeo at all. I mean, just some junior rodeo, but mostly just Western competition here in the Central California area, and then did a little English, you know, if I wanted a high point trophy, if that was available, and the big fair shows and things here too. We didn't aspire to professionalism at all. we just enjoyed our horses a lot, and showed steers and did the whole 4-H thing too. So we're real pretty for Central California. I guess it was a pretty agricultural period still, you know, and enjoyed that. And I think we still are in this area too. We still have a great FFA program here, 4-H program, that we all support here with a lot of events that come to Flag Is Up Farms as well. So we encourage that. We're trying to keep horses relevant.
You didn't live too far from the beach either, did you?
We're only about 15 minutes as the crow flies to the ocean.
That's what I thought,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought you were pretty close. So, did you grow up at the beach too, or?
Yeah, actually, when I was real small, before we moved here, we lived near Pismo Beach, which is just up the road, and grew up on a farm there that got our start. Right next door to Sheila Varian, who's if you Google her, she's just one of the greatest in Western Arabian showing, and she and Dad, she brought this horse named Ron Teza to Dad in, this must be the late 50s, early 60s now. And Ron Teza became maybe the first and only Arabian to win the Western reigning. Amazing things that she did on Ron Teza. And Dad just helped with that. I was honored to be a part of her career. Just another sidebar that... interesting note, and there were a lot of great horsemen that came out. You know, it's interesting. I think we've talked about this, Glenn, but the epicenter for natural horsemanship came out of the Western rodeo and reining world, and I still marvel at that. You know, I guess because things were so extreme out here with horses that
you still had a little bit of the Wild West going all the way into the 50s and 60s out there.
Yeah, for sure.
That mentality, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride.
And, you know, there have been some terrific horse people that have come out of California. I mean, not just the West in general, but California as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just been some terrific ones over the years. Jennifer wants to know, do you get to ride on the beach a lot?
We do. You know, we do take our field trips down there, throw them all in the trailer. We have some cool footage on our website, MontyRoberts.com. There's a tab, you go to Willing Partners, and that's a program where we wanted to start horses that, you know, our way through the whole process. Very few horses really get that privilege, I think, to be started with Join Up and carry their training all the way through with no force, no pain. And so that program became very specialized, and we thought, you know what we have to do? We have to take them to the beach a lot. good idea.
Tough job.
It was a lot of fun. But, you know, yeah, that's a challenge for horses that babies, you know. I was showing some of the Willing Partner horses in ACTHA rides, those American Competitive Trail Horse Association, when they're 2 years old. And you know, I mean, there's no heavy training on them or anything. It's just desensitizing at that point. Just, you know, stay in the middle of the saddle and get them by the scary stuff, you know.
Right.
And the beach is a wonderful way to desensitize versus that roaring ocean, that ooey sand, you know, the wind, the feeling, that exhilaration. Can they control themselves? It's a great way to train horses, and it's pretty cool scenery too. We have beautiful ocean here.
Well, now, the Willing Partners program, that's something that's still continuing, right?
Yes. We have about 20 horses in it right now, but some are just babies. So mom and dad handpick these horses. There's a couple of breeders in the Northwest that they've liked, but they just handpick each and every one for their attitude and their demeanor and their intelligence, and then they bring that horse back here, let him stay a baby a long time, and then... start to bring them into, we even train them to pull a cart. They can do anything. And then once a person identifies them for the purchase, then we train them for that person. We have special needs people that have bought these horses. We have people that just want a really solid bridle trail, you know, casual horse. We have, like, Runa Haugen is the leading racehorse trainer in Norway. And, yeah, he has access to all the horses he wants, but he wanted a calm, cool trail horse, you know, just to, you know, like we all want to do. We want to just get on a horse and decompress, one of those horses that you just adore. And we also didn't want them to be 18, you know, because you don't get to enjoy them for very long. And you've
right.
got your 12-year-old daughter who is just in love with horses, but you want to keep her safe. But you don't want her to, you know, have the horse up and die on her in 2 years either. You know, that happened a lot where you get a really calm horse, but it's ancient by then, you know. So we thought we could turn this world upside down and have a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old that's so solid that anybody can ride this horse, yet still has some life under him too. That's the whole idea. And mom and dad have had so much fun with it because, you know, it's I make the analogy, once you're known as the person who can fix anything, pretty soon all you see is broken things coming to you, right? You know, and so these horses
right.
were just
that is true.
Poor horses, you know, and well, you know, if all else fails, money can fix them, you know. And the sad thing is we were seeing nothing but the end result of really bad. We thought, well, if we could flip it around, wouldn't it be fun again just to start horses with join-up and then take them through without the trauma? And the, and that's exactly what they've been doing. And I make the analogy like it'd be like if you became if you're a hairdresser and you became known as the guy who can fix anything, pretty soon everything that comes through your door is like purple hair and, you know, cut halfway and, you know, and and that's how I felt. It was like the land of misfit toys here, the poor horses that were, you know, coming in to train wouldn't go through the starting gate or just had all kinds of issues. And I felt like dad was really getting, you know, weighs on you after a while when you see such unnatural things happening to horses, knowing that that was just a great little guy to begin with, you know. So we've had fun with that Willing Partners horse. We really honor the horse. We don't really make any money out of it because you put so much training into these horses and raise them up from such a young age. But it's just it's
but
a little
cool
bit of our
for
fun.
People that get the, how cool is it for people to get to buy the horses to buy one of Monty's horses that he raised up? You know,
I think so, too.
Pretty,
I think so, too.
Cool
and he
stuff.
Supports them. Yeah, and he has one in Denmark, one in Norway, one in Dubai, one in, you know, they're all over the world. And now he gets to say, you know what, I think I need to go. When I'm over there, I'm going to go visit my, you know. So he gets to travel around and he kind of tunes them up and has a lot of fun with that, too.
Well, now, Debbie, wasn't it one of those horses that you told me, we're going to talk to Monty here in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Wasn't it one of those horses that he got to ride in the Queen's Jubilee, which is what we're going to talk to him about?
That's right, Cherokee Hawk.
Okay.
He was one that was raised here. You can ask him about that. He's gorgeous. He's this big, beautiful, he could have been a reiner and still could, but he carries his owners, it's the McLeans, Natalie and Neil McLean, and they live in Dubai half the year and half the year in England. And he's this big gray roan that, well, people saw him and all the Queen's horses on Sunday if they saw that program. He just is such a gentle soul and just carries you as if, you know, he wants you to stay up there and he takes care of you. And that is the thread for the Willing Partners horses, how sweet they are. Their demeanors are just protective.
Terrific. Well, we're going to get to Monty here in just a second. This is going to be interesting because now you're co-hosting a show. You get to interview your dad. I mean, that's kind of cool.
I do. Okay. Okay,
or,
cool.
Or not. I'm not sure which. We'll find out.
Okay.
All right. First, we got to talk about our title sponsor this show, and that's Field Guardian Fencing. If you're looking to put up an electric or polytape fence at your house or farm, then one Jennifer and I chose for our Ocala property, and that's Field Guardian Fencing. They have this terrific program where if you're looking to put up a paddock or two and you actually contact them and they'll tell you, okay, do a drawing, do dimensions, tell us how far you want the posts to be apart, tell us what kind of posts that you're using, where you want the gates to be, and you send that diagram to them, they will actually calculate out exactly what you need. And they have everything from the polytape fence to the insulators to the fence gates, the coolest fence gates you've ever seen for this. They're really cool. And we have them here at our farm. But they'll do everything for you. They send you a complete itemized list and how much it's going to cost. You order that, and they send exactly what you need. You don't end up with a lot of extra. You don't end up short. They do a terrific job for that. We were so pleased with this company when we were working with them to put up our fence here. It's Field Guardian Fencing. Go take a look at it. As I said, they have the chargers. They have everything you're going to need. And you can find them at fieldguardian.com. Of your polytape or polyrope fence needs. And you know, the other nice thing that I like about them is that they make this stuff in the United States, right down there in Georgia. So we like that also. Well, now we're going to get to Monty here. I think Jennifer is getting him on the line right now. But we're going to talk to him about the Queen's Jubilee. And, of course, we've been covering that here, Debbie, on the morning show. Of course, you've been following it more closely because your dad was part of it. And we're going to talk to him about what party had in that. And then we're also going to talk about the fact that you're all packing up, the whole family's packing up and heading back to England for another celebration over there.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't want to miss this one. This one is going to be very cool because it's more personal than the Jubilee. Jubilee had a lot of people involved in that one. This one is going to be a more quiet and reserved award to some very important people.
All right, and we're gonna actually ask him about that as well. I think Jennifer's just trying to wake him up now. It is early, by the way. Thank you so much for getting up early there in California. We really appreciate you. I know that it was a 5 o'clock morning for you, and we really appreciate you getting up early to do that. Now you know what Jamie goes through every day.
I can't imagine. No worries on my part. No worries. We're on a farm here. I'm actually in Solvang with Dad now, and I go back and forth. So I saw him trotting around already this morning, so I know he's up. But
How many horses there at the farm, at the ranch?
There's generally, you know, it fluxes with the season, but about 100 at any one time.
Yeah. All right, very good. Yeah. Well, let's get to Monty. Of course, we're talking about Debbie's dad. That's Monty Roberts, who's going to join us here right now to talk a little bit about the good time he had over in England at the Queen's Jubilee. Good morning, Monty. Oh, is he there?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Uh-oh.
Monty, are you there?
I see the light lit up on the phone. He's not in.
Yeah, and I do.
He was there a second ago, honest.
Oh, I believe you.
I have him off of hold, so let me put him back on hold, take him off of hold again and see if we can get him back. Monty, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there
Hello.
He is. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for getting up early to join your daughter and I on the show this morning.
That's okay.
Hey, Monty, we want to talk to you about the Queen's Jubilee and, you know, what a cool role you had there leading off the whole thing at all the Queen's horses. Tell us about that. What was it like to be the first three of 1,000 horses in for the Queen's Jubilee?
I can't talk about it.
You can't talk about it?
It's so exciting that my jaw muscles have all frozen up. And I haven't been able to say a word for the last month or so. It's unbelievable. It's pinch me time.
And hard to take. I mean, when you first went into that arena, and on a horse you trained, Cherokee Hawk, how cool is that?
How cool is that? And he was an absolute gentleman. He was the best horse out of the 1,000 that were in the arena at the same time. And there I am with a cowboy hat on, and they wanted me in my blue shirt. And it was cold. And rainy, and I didn't feel a thing. I tell you, they said, how can you stand it? All of them in coats, you know, and those military guys are all in their winter clothes because it was really cold and a cold rain. And there I am in my shirt because that's the way the Queen wanted me to be. She wanted me in my chaps, my hat, and my blue shirt. And so that's the way they got me. And night after night, you know, we rehearsed from Monday onward until Wednesday was our first dress rehearsal. That is to say, they had an audience there, but it was a kind of an experimental audience, like it only cost them half price or something to come in. I don't know. But we started riding down from the castle at 9:40 each night. Now, the show started at 7, so we missed 2 hours and 40 minutes of the show. We never saw the show. We're the last thing. We're the featured item on the thing. And so we get down there, and then you go ride in, and we are the featured event. So then you ride home again. It's about a 20-minute ride up to the stables at the castle from the showgrounds, or a 20-minute ride down from the castle beforehand. But now get a picture of this. I'm on Cherokee Hawk, and we're leaving the stables at 9:40, okay? And I'm riding with Terry Pendry, a student of mine that I got the job of managing her private horses 21 years ago. I got him that job. And he's just like family to us, and I'm riding along with him. And all these kids on those Highland ponies and the driving horses, the carriages are going with us. And we're riding across in front of Her Majesty's apartment at Windsor Castle. And Terry and I are riding along. We're the only ones that know which window to look for, you see. And so we look up at the castle. And the lights of the garden behind us allow you to see pretty good there. And there's the Queen pulling the curtain back and waving to us from the window every single night when we're doing our rehearsals. Now, I want you to get a picture of that. I want you to think about that one. It's absolutely incredible, the feeling. And riding into the arena was just a part of that feeling. But, you know, in some way or another, riding into the arena, even when the Queen was there with thousands of people and everything, wasn't nearly as exciting as riding by her window and having her wave at us.
Wow. And, you know, I think a lot of people didn't realize until now, if you weren't real tuned into the horse world, you didn't realize what a true lover of horses the Queen is. Now, obviously you do, because you've worked with her and her horses for so many years, but that she loves horses.
She does, and she's a dang good student of horsemanship. She knows what's going on, and if something's a bit off-center, she'll let you know about it right away. You know, whether a halter fits or there's the old story about Ian Balding, one of her trainers years ago, decided that all of his saddles were going to heck, and the Queen is coming to watch her babies, her two-year-olds working, you know. And so he issued an order, I want you to go out and buy new saddles. I want every one of her horses to have a new saddle on. And when she got there in the morning, she had two-year-olds bucking. She had kids, horses loose and kids going every which way. And she said, well, now, who in the world decided to put brand new saddles on all these horses with the squeaky new saddles? And there he stood with egg on his face, you know. And she recognized right away that sort of thing happens. I looked at a two-year-old for sale to me in Montana a couple of years ago, and a guy decided to put a new saddle on, and the horse bucked him off, showing me the horse for crying in the night. I just thought about it. This guy showed me this horse, and he bucked him off with a new saddle. And yet he was a nice colt, and there was nothing wrong with him. And I was talking about this squeaky new saddle. Do you know who the horse was? Cherokee Greyhawk. It was Cherokee Greyhawk. It was Cherokee Greyhawk. And he's as gentle as can be now, and wouldn't buck anybody off, but it was him. You know, it's just pinch me time. There's so many things going on. It's unbelievable. I couldn't talk like an auctioneer and give you half of what's happening if you gave me an hour to do it. Do you know what I do these PT I do these PTSD clinics. Did you know about that?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Okay, I'm doing these PTSD clinics, and I could tell you story after story, but there's a black girl from Washington, D.C. that was found homeless after earning $80,000 a year as an executive. She was in the Pentagon when the plane went in, and then she went to Iraq and to Afghanistan, and she went through some unbelievable trauma over there, trauma induced by her own troops. And so she's suffering from PTSD, all right, but MST too, and that's called military sexual trauma. Anyway, this poor girl was a basket case. When I inherited her, she had dark glasses on, a hoodie, sat in a corner, wouldn't let a man anywhere near her, that sort of thing. I've had her now a total of 9 days, three-day clinics I've had her. And with the use of horses, join up, and the facets of join up that bring out the confidence in people, she's back to her outgoing, smiling, wonderful self. Okay, that's all subjective. I can tell you that she's back to herself in 9 days of work. Now, the time she put in on herself between these sessions was helpful too. And that's all subjective. But here comes the objective part of it. Just the other day, she came to me and she said, "Monty, I've just got to tell you something. I've been holding it a secret, but I've taken the test and I've been accepted to Harvard Psychological School, and I'm going to go to Harvard and be a psychologist." And I looked at her, you know, I mean, this girl was catatonic. She was attempting suicide. She was completely finished, and they had her on medication and stuff, which the VA will do because that's what they know how to do. They're psychiatrists trained in the medical world, and they will do that. But the horses were the difference. Don't be giving me any status as a hero. It was the horses that made a difference with Alicia. And I'll tell you, the second difference that was made was the fact that I saw my way clear to making her a teacher of other MST and PTSD victims. And when she became a teacher of them, she really started to see life from its proper perspective, and the girl is absolutely back on her feet. Is that something or not? You know,
That's
queen
terrific.
Is so excited. She saw a video of Alicia, the queen did, and she just went incredibly cooperative with me. I guess you know that she's become patron to my nonprofit.
Well, yeah, and one of the things we wanted to talk about is that Debbie was telling us earlier in the show that the whole family's heading back over there. Not only do you work with people here, but you had a big, strong push now, really, you know, help the horse handlers down there, you know, to encourage them with violence-free training and everything. And the Queen is actually giving some certificates to some of those people from South America. That's coming up here later this month, right?
Yeah, I made requests of the Queen about that, and then later I learned that nobody ever is to make a request of a monarch from England. It's never been done
Oops.
Before, but I did. And
well, you know,
and
what? You didn't end up in the tower, Monty, so I guess it's...
No, I know, but it probably was close. but and I probably would have ended up in the tower with any other monarch or if the people around Her Majesty had had their way. But anyway, it all went well. And it's true, Argentina has absolutely tipped it over. And Brazil is changing overnight. And Guatemala and Mexico, they're represented by 9 people who are taking my concepts to South America, Central America, and Mexico. And the Queen was so smitten by that she agreed to do these certificates for these 9 people that were instrumental in all of this. And on June the 24th, that's in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be going to London and out to the Guards Polo Club at Windsor. I'll be riding there in a car with the Queen. We arrive, and the Queen and I will present these 9 certificates at the Guards Polo Club, where the English Open polo matches will take place. And the reason that we chose that venue was that three of the recipients, three out of the nine, are 10-goal world-leading polo players at the moment who will be there for the tournament. So we just use that as a venue. And then there will be three from Brazil, one from Guatemala, and two represent Mexico.
Well, now, is she going to make you wear your blue shirt again, or do you get to wear something different that day?
I probably will be in a dark suit and tie with a white shirt on.
Good.
It's a little different venue. When I was on a Western horse, Her Majesty said, "No, you ride like you ride a Western horse." And I said, "Okay." She said, "And I'd like to have you ride in the blue shirt." Now, I'm telling you, it can sound like I really went through a lot, but I had about six sweatshirts and a waterproof under that blue shirt that I had on. So I didn't tell anybody that. They just thought I was gaining weight.
Debbie, this must be real fun too for you as a daughter to watch all of this happen after seeing your dad's hard work all these years. This has got to be very gratifying and satisfying for you to see happen as well.
It is. It's good that finally people recognize that the concepts are good, his efforts have been good, all that have been for all the right reasons all these years. It's just verification, isn't it?
Good grief,
right.
I didn't know Debbie was on.
Oh, Debbie,
oh, yeah.
She's in
I'm
another
in mom's
part
office
of the house.
Right now.
Oh, okay, she's in another part of the house.
I'm in another part of the house, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm really pleased. I mean, obviously, proud as punch for everything that that Dad's accomplished over all the years. That doesn't change at all. It's just gratifying to see that people are finally getting it. You know, they really get that everything that Dad has done is for the horses, and that then the turnaround on that is, hey, the horses have been fine all this time. It's that he really has done it to get the people right so that the horses can live better lives. And it's gratifying to see all that. And even the Queen's being verified in all this, too. The fact that she has been reaching out for 23 years, holding Dad up as an example of the way horses should be trained, bringing Dad over there for her horses at Polehampton and Sandringham, and using his methods, probably being criticized in some circles for that, and she probably knows that. But she cared more about the horses and about using the right concepts that she saw in 1989 than she did about criticism, sure. She doesn't strike me as somebody who faints from those things, you know. So,
yeah,
I'm really proud of everything that's going on in the horse world right now.
And I have to say that the world is finally catching up to Queen Elizabeth, too. It's fine that they accept my concepts and that it will be better for the horses, and I appreciate that coming from Debbie. But this lady has not had credit, and she undersells herself all the time. But she is the single world leader of all time that has more profoundly and positively affected man's relationship to animals. No world leader comes close. They can talk about Teddy Roosevelt and Gandhi, and they can talk about whoever they want. They don't come close. She will change the world. A lot of that has to do with the communications potential that we have for today, but she is the IFG leader of the world for all time. And I said that to Horse and Hound magazine day before yesterday in an interview. She's the IFG. They said, what are you talking about, this IFG thing? Influence for good. She is the greatest influence for good of any world leader that has ever lived. 60 years of being an influence for good. And you can go back over all the world leaders you want. You won't come close to that.
Well, in relationship to that, too, there was an article, I think it was Time Magazine, I saw you mentioned in, that just came out a couple of days ago, that was about the Queen and her relationship with her horses. And you were mentioned in there. You made it to Time again. month.
Time magazine mentioned me very negatively a few times, so it's about time I get a little shot of positivity.
I wasn't going to say that, but when I saw it, I went, oh, God, here we go again. And then I read it and went, wow, it's actually positive.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The last time they talked about me, they said the whole thing was phony and the horses were all trained and, okay, you know, just that unbelievably crazy stuff.
You've outlived them, Dad. That's
right.
The thing.
See, that's
you know,
what it is.
You've outlived
them. It's laughable. It's laughable now.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That's true. It only took 10,000 horses. 10,000 horses in front of live audiences to do it. Phew, you made it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's about 9,300.
Okay, 9,300. I exaggerated.
Well,
think about that,
Monty.
Glenn.
Is it 9,300 total?
Sorry, Glenn.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I really like to make this point, that think about that, that if this man has done in front of live audiences around the world, but you couldn't be in two cities on two different continents and train horses in between, right? This guy's done live audiences 9,300 plus times, and not you won't find anybody out there, an owner or otherwise, that would say, ah, yeah, you know what? I know his trick. He was behind the barn blowing smoke up their nose. I don't know. You know, not one little bit of, and I think these Time magazines, or what do they know about horses, they have to come around. They have to come around at this point and say, you know what, I guess if the Queen gives them the thumbs up, I guess we can too, you know.
Right, right. Well, Monty, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on being part of I watched the flotilla there. I watched some of the video from the flotilla on Sunday for the Queen's Jubilee. And, you know, I wish I would have been there for that. That just gave me goosebumps watching that. Going back. Oh,
that was something that was to see, wasn't it? And did you see Joey on top of the National Theater?
No.
No. Joey is a horse. But he's a horse that is a puppet, and he's run by three guys, you know? And he's
from the play. Yep.
He's the hero of War Horse, the play. And
right.
Do you know who wrote War Horse the play?
Yes, I
two
do.
Guys
actually,
from two guys from South Africa that read my books, every single word of each book, and then wrote the play based upon the concepts of Equus, the language, and then had me come to the National Theater in London and train the cast of War Horse for the first production, and we put the main guy in our school in England at Whitney in Oxford and train them so that the gestures and the movements would be right. And we took kids that have never seen a horse before, that were born inside the ring road and just city kids, you know, but they were talented people and they learned it and they were a clean slate going in. So they didn't come in with preconceived notions. And it really has worked. Globally, it has worked. It's big in New York. And if you go to New York and you get the playbill, you'll see that I wrote two or three pages in there for that. So that was really gratifying, too, to see the flotilla and to see Joey on top of that building bowing to the Queen. I'm telling you, it's pinch me time.
Now, was that Michael Marpurgo, the author there, author of War Horse? Well, he's in the news today, Monty, because he has reproposed after 50 years to his wife. Apparently, they're going to have a proper wedding now, because apparently when they got married back in 1963, it was a rush wedding. She was pregnant. The parents were not happy. They went to the Justice of the Peace. They got married. Nobody was happy. It was a bad time. And he said, now, after I've done pretty well with these little books and movies and things, we're going to have a proper wedding. So on their 50th anniversary on June 28th, they're going to have a proper wedding and a whole ceremony with the gown and all. So,
great?
So he was all excited about that. But, well, thank you, Monty. We appreciate you being here.
I don't want you to go away.
Okay. we have more time. What?
You're loosening up my jaw muscles now. I'm all right.
Tell us quick, where do we find the university? What's the website there? Because we talked about that before, but we haven't mentioned it here.
Yeah.
Debbie, you're on.
Okay, that's MontyRobertsUniversity.com. And so MontyRoberts, University. And it's different than the MontyRoberts.com website, but we have a special on Facebook. We put a free day pass on there with the promo code HRN, which is Horse Radio Network, as all the listeners know. So if you go to MontyRoberts.com/promotions/HRN, or go on the Facebook page, or Twitter has it going right now too, they can click on the link or use that URL to get a free day pass. And what it is Monty's lessons online in little 8 to 10 minute bites, and there's over 200 lessons up there right now. So it's an amazing pass, and they'll have 24/7 access to that. We're really proud of that, and that's Dad's legacy put right up there on the internet.
Terrific. Well, and Jennifer, if you'll post that on our Facebook page as well, that would be terrific. Thank you, Monty. We're going to let you go get on with the rest of your day. We appreciate you getting up so early to talk to us.
Thank you, and congratulations to you guys for bringing horses to the country.
Yeah. Well, we just have fun. That's what we do. It just happens that we love horses, too. So thanks, Monty.
Okay. All right.
Well, it was good of him to get up so early, Debbie. I'm glad you rustled him up this morning. It's always so fun to hear him. And to be that energetic at this hour of the morning is a gift to begin with.
Oh, that's nice. Well, he was out feeding the deer earlier, so that's what exhilarates him, actually. He doesn't drink coffee, so he uses deer.
Is that right? Do you have a lot of deer that show up in the morning?
He does. He has a little refuge out here. They're not pets, they're not tamed, but they find the front yard of my parents' home safe. And in this country, there's enough people around where they wouldn't, they actually nurse their babies right here on the grass.
Oh, wow. Huh. That's pretty cool. Well, yeah. we're going to take a break for a song, and then Debbie and I are going to be back. We have a bunch of news here for you from the day, too. We're going to talk a little racing, because obviously your family follows racing a bit, so we'll talk a little bit about that. It's an important week coming up here. But our song is by a good friend of Debbie and I's, and that's Templeton Thompson. And this is off of her Icy Blue Heart CD. This song is called Love is a Rose. Have you heard her new CD yet, Icy Blue Heart CD yet?
I haven't. No, I'll have to go find it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to have to look it up. She did covers of a lot of famous songs through time, and it's her first time that she's ever done covers. So, you know, most of the other stuff that she sings that we have heard her sing in person has been her own stuff that she's written. But this was covers, and they were fantastic. And you truly realize what a great voice she has when you can compare her to the originals. You can't do that when she writes the songs, but with these you can, and you'll hear it in Love is a Rose. And we're going to be right back.
Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I want to see what's never been seen. I want
That's Templeton Thompson and Love is a Rose. You can find all of Templeton's music. You just go to templetonthompson.com and you can find all of her CDs there. They're all worth taking a listen to. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek. I am here with Debbie Laux, Coach Jen over there in the producer chair. And this show today is sponsored by Field Guardian Fence at fieldguardian.com. Well, the Horse Radio Network show highlight for today is Horse Tip Daily, one of Jennifer's shows. She hosts that show. And she had Megan Arol, who was on talking about massage. She is kind of our massage expert over on Horse Tip Daily. And she was talking about pressure, too much, too little, or just right. Megan is great at explaining the whole, everything to do with horse massage. And I think you're going to enjoy listening to that. It's Horse Tip Daily number 649. Debbie, that's 649 tips we've done over in that show, and you can find it at horsetipdaily.com. It's amazing. You know, we started this network a little over 3 years ago, and when I started Horse Tip Daily, it was, you know, we did one a day. And I was always amazed at how quickly that adds up to one a day. In no time, you're off and running, and you're at 649 tips. We are also sponsored this half hour by Equestrian Collections, and Equestrian Collections is one of our terrific sponsors. And of course, Debbie, you know Chris from Equestrian Collections, and have met her before.
They're wonderful people, a wonderful site.
Yes, it is. And they have a product of the week, and let's hear what that is. Hi, Glenn, back with you from the Horse Radio Network. I am here with Debbie with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
The product of the week is the Equine Couture Ladies Air-O Shirts. These shirts, the Equine Couture shirts used to have an issue with sizing, but the new ones are actually excellent. They fix the sizing. It's time to start buying these beautiful shirts again. The particular ones I'm highlighting this week, because I just wore one on a trail ride the other day, and it was so cool. It was absolutely the coolest shirt I've worn in a while, and very, very pretty, and it fit perfectly. I got a raspberry pad, and I had that raspberry stripe in that shirt, and I was styling. Mm-hmm. It comes in a bunch of different sizes and a bunch of different colors, and I absolutely want to say that this is a very comfortable, low-priced shirt, and it also comes in long sleeves for those folks who like to cover up their arms in the summer instead of exposing them to the sun. It comes in the long sleeve with the same material, so it's equally as cool in a long sleeve as it is in the short sleeve. Highly recommend giving this a try again. If you tried Equine Couture and you weren't happy with the sizing, please come back because they've fixed it.
All right, and it comes from anything. I mean, you're right, it does have a lot of different sizes, from small all the way up to like 3X.
3X, yes, and that's they really do fit well now. So
and some
come
fun
on back.
Colors. We're talking some unusually fun colors about this.
Yes, really fun colors, and if you like me, to match it up, you can get all these colors and match up your saddle pad, and you're just really cute.
All right, the best way to do this is to go to equestriancollections.com, search for Equine Couture Ladies Air. Well, now, Debbie, you guys were in, obviously had racehorses for a while. Did you ever get to attend the Kentucky Derby or any of the Triple Crown races?
You know what? I haven't. We were talking about this last night. That would be so exciting to see the Belmont. What a beautiful track that is. But, no, as a I was made to stay in school when they were. And mom and dad, you know, have visited many, many times. I always wanted to wear those hats. It sounded so fun. But the horses did a lot of horse. You know, it's a good year for cowbred horses, and we did send them back that way. But do you miss Kentucky now about this time of year?
No, not really. To be honest, we love Florida. So we're having a great time down here. But, you know, I do want to ask you guys a question. I'll ask that you are Jennifer. Do you remember the name Billy Turner? Does that mean anything to you?
Jennifer or me?
Not even one of here.
No? Billy Turner. Well, he's going to be in the stands at Belmar Park on Saturday. Do you remember the name Seattle Slew?
Of course.
Back in 1977, Billy Turner was the trainer for Seattle Slew, and he's actually going to be there watching. He's the only trainer left alive of a Triple Crown winner. So,
I believe that there haven't been that many, and Mickey and Karen Taylor were wonderful owners too. We knew them way back then, and I'd forgotten about that. Thank you for the reminder. It was a wonderful team, amazing team.
Well, he got to go up and spend some time with Doug O'Neill. Apparently, they spend about an hour. And, of course, Doug O'Neill is the trainer for I'll Have Another. And, Debbie, did you hear that I had picked I'll Have Another about 3 weeks before the Kentucky Derby? Did you hear that? I just want to make sure you know.
You know what? The rumor is out. I heard everybody has been calling me and telling me that Glenn picked the winner.
I know.
What I want to know, I want to put you on the spot, and I want to know if there's a triple crown in this. You have to be put on your prophet hat here. Okay.
I'll have another. Bowie Meister, photo finish. I'll have another.
I have to play that at least once a day or the listeners would be upset with me. Actually, I think they're
getting awesome.
Really, they're going to be so happy when this Saturday's over after we're done talking about the Triple Crown thing. Especially since I've been gloating every day. But anyway, Billy Turner got to spend about an hour with O'Neill, and apparently O'Neill asked a ton of questions. Turner said O'Neill asked all the right questions. We talked about the paddock, the gate crew, stuff like that. I told him he'd done right bringing his horse here early because nobody with even a piece of a brain ever shifts in the day before this race and wins it. And then he went on to say, too, Debbie, this is kind of interesting. He went on to say that I'll Have Another is nothing like Seattle Slew. He said, I'll Have Another is such a calm, quiet horse. He gallops at a nice pace. He comes home happy. Everything seems to be, you know, his chi is good. Everything is right. He said Seattle Slew was explosive all the time. He said all he wanted to do was run. He said they train him for an hour every day. He said no horse trains that much now, but they said he had so much energy. If they didn't do that, he'd bounce off the wall. They said he would hurt himself if he didn't train that much. Apparently, he was just totally out there.
Wow, that sounds like another horse we've heard of, Secretariat, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. And it rather sounds like some human athletes that we've heard of, too. They're just totally out there, and you know, out of control. The really good ones.
A lot of energy.
End up out of control.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, there is a problem with Saturday's race at the Belmont, and that is there's a union that is threatening to strike on Friday, and it's the Maintenance Workers Union. Apparently, they've been working without a contract up there in New York for 2 years. They've been renegotiating this contract for 2 years. And the New York Racing Association, which was just taken over by Governor Cuomo, has been the one that's been doing the negotiations, and it's the IBEW Local 3. And it's about 150 members and that work at Belmont, Aqueduct, and Saratoga. And apparently they're having some negotiations over hours and overtime and usual stuff. But they decided to, you know, throw it out there that they would do a vote on whether they were going to strike. And they have the vote came back that, yes, they would strike beginning Friday. And, of course, now the new racing association up there is crying foul and saying they're just doing it because there's 104,000 people expected at Belmont on Saturday. And they can't do it without the maintenance workers. And it's just all this fight. It just sounds like New York politics is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah, I don't like that hostage thing.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much a hostage thing. That's for sure.
Yeah. The thoroughbred industry is having such a hard time as it is, you know, and it's just a shame that there could be one more black eye. We're running out of eyes here. We really need to figure out how to keep the public, you know, coming to these races and watching these beautiful horses. And there's so much more we can do to be friendly to the whole industry.
Well, I never heard it quite put like that way before. I'm going to write that down. We're running out of off. I like that. That's pretty good, Debbie. Now, one of the other things, too, I wanted to chat about here a little bit this morning that was in the news, and it's not a happy story, but we've been covering it since day one, and everybody that listens to the show certainly knows how we feel about these particular people. If you remember the story from Southern Arkansas University where the rodeo horses were kidnapped and the one of them was butchered and murdered, and they found the other four were tied to trees. And there was a woman that was arrested. She apparently, you know, had the thing for the head rodeo guy at the college. Her name was J.C. Jackson. We'll never forget that name. Well, her mother, Wendy Cox, surrendered to authorities on Monday and made an initial appearance in District County Court. And she has been charged with animal cruelty and knowingly concealing stolen property, because it was her property that the horses were found on in Oklahoma. So she has finally been arrested in this case and is going to be tried for that. And, of course, J.C. Jackson, the daughter, has been held over for trial on charges of animal cruelty, concealing stolen property, and a bunch of other charges. So we're hoping that she obviously goes to jail. I would hate to see this one brushed over and her not go to jail. But so anyway, the mother was arrested, and that's what I wanted to update there. And then there was one other story that was kind of cute from England. And Jennifer, you'll have to post a picture. And that was this girl who's an inventor. And her name, I'm trying to find it here, is, what's her name? I'm looking for it here. Okay. Yeah, her name is Laura Collette. And she decided they needed some promotion for the upcoming Barbary Castle Estate International Horse Trials, which is going to be the last of the major British competitions before the Olympic Games. And she thought that they needed some promotion, so she actually painted her horse it looks just like the British flag.
Oh.
And the Union Jack. And if you look to the bottom there, Debbie, of the show notes, you'll see this horse painted like the Union Jack jumping over one of the jumps that kind of looks like Stonehenge. And they had photographers there, and they were taking pictures. And it is an effective picture. It's a very good picture, actually. And she's
wonderful.
In a skirt riding. She doesn't have her helmet on, so I'll give her that. She's obviously an inventor. What a picture. She said they couldn't do any more than six jumps. They had to get the perfect shot in less than six jumps because the paint would start running in the heat.
Oh, yeah.
but
there's pressure.
Exactly. So you have to post that picture, Jennifer. It was kind of neat. It was kind of a neat picture.
That's great. You don't work with kids or painted horses. Just don't work with them. It's too hard.
Well, we were watching the Jubilee stuff. I can't believe the number of people who have made money selling hats and flags and every other tchotchke that has Jubilee. This has had to have boosted the economy in England tenfold.
They look for any excuse, though, those guys that live in the rain, you know.
You guys are going to be over there. You're going to be buying your Union Jack hats and your flags.
Oh,
you'll be over here in a couple of weeks doing the same thing.
That's right. I know. I'll come back with my accent and everything, you think?
Yeah, no, I want to hear your English accent when you come back.
Slimy.
And then we're going to end the last news story of the day. We can't end a day. We can't end a week without having a rescue story. There are more horses that fall in holes every day around this world than you would ever dream of. And this one's a little bit different because the hole actually, there was not a hole. This poor girl by the name of Brittany Holt, and this is in Georgia, teenager was riding her horse, and apparently she was watching the riders ahead of her, and she noticed that the ground seemed unstable. Well, then all of a sudden the ground let go, and her horse, and she jumped off. She managed to jump off just in time, and her horse fell into an 8-foot deep hole that just went out from underneath her. Now, Jennifer, your horse here in Florida out here, we got all kinds of critters that live in Florida underneath the ground. And her horse has fallen in one leg into a perfect leg-size hole before, but not an 8-foot deep hole that actually sucked up the entire horse.
Yeah.
We have not been swallowed by the earth, no.
That would be news that we would hear about on Horse Radio Network.
Well, apparently it took hours for the rescue teams to get this horse out of the hole because the horse was trying to scramble and get out of the hole and actually ended up digging deeper and ended up burying itself partway. It took hours to get this horse out because they could not get – they usually use fire hoses to wrap underneath the horses. They couldn't get the fire hose underneath the horse because he had dug himself into a hole. So this was a unique – we only cover the unique rescue stories now. This is one we have not had before where the ground gave way and sucked up the horse.
Glad to hear.
So
it's unusual.
Yeah. And this is in Jamie's home state of Georgia. I should have saved this one for next week, right?
Maybe people will write in about that.
Before we go, bucket list. We started talking about bucket lists earlier. What's on your bucket list yet? What's still on that list on the wall?
Gosh, I've dumped a few out and put a few more things. Yeah, bucket list for me is more travel to see places. I'd love to see the Maori horse of India. Do you know what that horse is?
No.
With the ears that point straight to each other. Mom has sculpted it. You know, my mom sculpts. Oh, Dad's correcting on how I said Mavori. You have to say it with an Indian accent, I think. Mavori. And Mom sculpted it in bronze, and it's just a gorgeous horse. So there's so much more to see in Africa. Some of the breeds there are just amazing too. Oh yeah, Dad has come into the office now, and he's turned back on all the Queen's horses. So we're watching again.
This is live.
This is a live feed from England. We're getting excited. I'm ready to pack my bags.
I bet you are. How much fun is that? And so is the whole family going, or do you have to stay in a hotel, or do you get to stay in the palace or a castle somewhere?
Oh, he stayed in Windsor, but we're staying someplace close to where the polo fields are in a bed and breakfast.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, nothing fancy. Oh, but I promise to bring lots of photos.
Your dad got to stay in Windsor Castle when he was there for the Jubilee?
Oh, yeah. He generally does, Mom and Dad. It's fun.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm jealous now, officially.
Yeah, officially.
All right, Debbie, let's wrap today up. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here and for co-hosting. It was good to finally get to work with you.
It was fun, Glenn. I'm glad you're not avoiding me anymore. We'll do this again.
I know. I'll have you back, I promise. And thank your dad for us for joining us today. We really appreciate that, too. And, of course, we'll be back here at Horses in the Morning tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with a different co-host. We're going Western tomorrow. We have one of my old friends, Michael Richardson, who is one of the most terrific guys you're ever going to meet in your life. He actually trains horses from a wheelchair. He had an accident when he was 19 years old and has been paralyzed since then. And he trains horses from a wheelchair. He has his own show on RFD now. He's become big time. We knew him when he was not big time.
Yeah.
But now he's big time, and he's just a terrific, gentle, wonderful man. And he's going to co-host with us tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. And Frankie Lovato is coming up on Friday as well. So Frankie's going to be here on Friday. And, it's only Tuesday. You're right, Jennifer. Tomorrow is Michelle from The Horse. That's right. We're talking all about racing tomorrow with the Blood Horse. I got my days mixed up. See, I'm rushing the week.
It's a great week.
Tomorrow's Michelle. And then we're going to talk Western on Thursday. And then Frankie Lovato on Friday. So we got a terrific week planned for the rest of this week. Give the website again. And what was the code? One more time.
MontyRobertsUniversity.com. Put in the promo code HRN.
And you get a free day over at the university.
You get a free day, 24/7.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Debbie. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Glenn, and Jennifer, too. Love you guys.
And I'm trying to find the closing music because it seems to have moved. There we are. See you guys. Have another day.